Mrs. Cooper, Rewan. I think you were born in Stoke-on-Trent.
That's right.
Which year was that?
1919.
What did your father do for a living?
My father was art director of Wood & Sons Pottery.
Did you go to school in Stoke?
A school in Newcastle.
And how old were you when you left school?
19.
Did you get a job?
Yes. I got a job as designer's assistant with Susie Cooper at Susie Cooper Pottery.
Were you doing that when war broke out?
Yes.
How did you feel when you heard the announcement that we were at war with Germany?
Well, I don't know. It didn't have much of an impression on me then, but the thing that worried me was a lot of the staff from the pottery were being sent to Radway Green to work on munitions factories, and I was terrified of having to do that. So, unknown to my family and unknown to Susie Cooper, I volunteered for the ATS. And I started with the ATS.
Was it fear of the danger of the munitions?
No, I didn't. All the skin went yellow and horrible with working with powder and things. They looked as though they'd got, that yellow illness.
Jaundice?
Yes.
Did you see people who looked
like that? Yes. Not a lot, because I got away from it as quickly as I could, and I didn't want to go and work on a factory.
Was the whole of the skin yellow on the face and everything?
Yes, it was, yeah, and particularly hands. Well, I didn't see much of it, I admit, but I just didn't want to go there.
How did you go about joining the ATS then?
I went to the recruiting office and volunteered.
Was it easy to get in?
Yes.
Where were you trained?
At Wrexham, North Wales, Wrexham.
What did the training consist of?
Oh, a square drill and general discipline and, being kitted out with uniform and training for what we were going to be eventually.
How did you take to the training?
Oh, all right. I quite enjoyed the discipline aspect of it. I quite enjoyed it. I wasn't far away from home. I was able to, on my weekends off, I was able to go and spend the weekend at home. It was good company. We weren't in any danger.
Was there any bullying by those in charge?
No. Not, I didn't come across any. Naturally, the ones we didn't like, but I can't say we had any bullying.
Why should there be ones that you didn't like?
Well, a bit strict and bossy and, nothing very much.
How did the girls get on with each other?
Very well. Very, probably a little bit cliquey, but very well. They were a jolly nice lot of girls.
Once you were trained, what kind of work were you allocated?
Well, I was trained, strangely enough, as a telephonist. And I went to work at Western Command headquarters at Chester on the underground switchboard.
Did you enjoy that work?
No, I disliked it very much. I passed the examination to do the job, but I was bored stiff with it. I wasn't interested. So I applied for something else.
How did you go about applying for something?
Well, I wrote to the CEO and said that I had an artistic background and I was inquiring if there was anything in that line that I could do towards the war effort.
What reaction did you get?
I got, yes, certainly there was, and I was sent to Baker Street in London, where I had an interview and told them all I could about myself. And then I was sent to the thatched barn on Barnet Bypass.
What type of things did they want to know at Baker Street?
Well, they wanted to know if I could paint and silkscreen and things like that, design labels and that sort of thing, which I hadn't had much experience of, but what they said I thought I could do, and they took me on. And when I arrived there with, I think there were two more girls, the most beautiful place with a swimming pool and everything, it was gorgeous. We were confronted with wooden boxes all nailed up and given rolls of hessian, and we had to wrap these wooden boxes in the hessian and nail them down all the way round and nail a label on them and pass them on. And of course I wondered what on earth I'd come into doing this, but however, we all had a grumble, but we all got on with it, and about a fortnight after that, we were moved on to some very much more interesting things. And one of the things we had to do was to make logs, like log cut off a tree trunk in plaster with little bits and odd leaves sticking out, and paint it, and paint all the rings where the wood was sawn across. And those then they had 12 of those with grenades and detonators in, and they were sent off to France, and they were put on the peasants' carts, the odd one thrown in with the real thing. And every so often we'd hear that such and such a load had got through and done its job. And also, and then of course there was great joy and everybody cheered. And then the next thing would probably be beetroots, and we'd do the same thing. Then there would be what we call tire busters. And there French people would send a little piece of rock from certain areas, and we'd have to sit down and copy it exactly. Every little bit of marking and colour, it had to be an exact replica of that little piece of stone, and they were made in plaster, and inside were what they called tire busters, that if the German cars ran over them, they blew up.
What was the name of the organisation which you were supposed to be working for?
The Inter-Services Research Bureau.
Did you feel that it was a cover name?
Well, the questions you're asking, I think I must have been very green when I went in, because a cover name, I don't think, I didn't know what a cover name was in those days.
And where did you say the place was?
On Barnet Bypass, London. It was a country club, and then it was taken over by the army, and it was beautiful, beautiful place.
What was the name of the country club?
The Thatched Barn.
What were your companions like? Were they all similar to yourself?
Yes, they all had a bit of artistic training or Well, they were a very nice crowd of people. And the men were all different types. They were, a lot of them were tinsmiths. And they used to make tins, and we used to silk screen the labels to put round the tins, tins of tomatoes or tins of peaches and so on. And the men would fill them with grenades and detonators.
How do you do this silk screening work?
Well, it's the design is done onto the screen, and say if so many parts are, we'll say red, for example, the rest of it is blocked out, and the red paint is put on, scraped off again, and the screen lifted up, and the red stencil, as it were, is shown on the paper. And that goes through different processes like that, with different colours. But we used to have to copy the real thing. They'd send us a real one over, and we'd copy it. And we used to do little silk maps to go inside handbags between the lining and the bag, and to roll up and put inside fountain pens, which the airmen used to drop the propaganda and maps to help the prisoners escape and that sort of thing.
Yes, I've seen some of them. Was any of the work particularly difficult? What was the most difficult work that you did?
I should think probably those maps.
Why was that difficult?
Well, because they were so fine and they'd got to be so very accurate. And we had, at one time, sewing to do. You know, the Glengarry caps that the Germans used to wear with the red, white and blue button on the front in felt. I don't know whether they were it would be Air Force, or I can't remember. But we used to have to copy those and make those for disguise for the agents. And that was pretty tricky work, and I didn't like that. None of us liked that very much, but we did it quite a lot. It's, I can only remember bits, you know.
But you were told about the results of the sabotage materials that
Yes. Most of it we were, yes. And then we were also told if anything was intercepted. And of course, that we never did, whatever that was, we never did it again. We'd try something else.
Who'd make the announcements?
Well, we don't know where those came from. Those came from the Major Wills, who was in charge of it all, used to come in and tell us, and we never knew where it had come from.
The boss of the thatch barn was called Major Wells?
Major Wills.
Wills?
Wills, yes.
What was he like?
Very nice. There was a captain, I can't remember the captain's name. I can remember Major Wills, I can see him now.
Did you ever meet any VIPs or notable people?
No, we didn't, but we met some of the men that had got out of France. There would be French people, I suppose, and we had to disguise them for them to go back into the country again. And we used to puff out their cheeks and dye their hair and give them humpbacks and things like that. And they had got out of France and they'd got to get back again as somebody completely different.
What kind of materials did you have for the disguises?
Well, we had the best and everything that could be obtained from all over the world, to use as we wished, in any way we wished. And if it was wasted, it didn't matter. The finest of cloth to do uniforms with, and everything of the very, very best.
And false mustaches?
Mm. Yeah.
How did you do the humpbacks?
Padded their jackets.
What with?
With cotton wool and meshy stuff that they used to provide. A flock. I can't remember what it was exactly. Something like they used to stuff furniture with before the war, whatever you call it, flock.
So you did a wide variety of work then?
Oh yes, did a lot of things. We did, they got the mouse skins, dead mice, and they scooped the insides out and sent the skins over to us, and rats the same, and we used to have to fill them with plastic explosive and fasten them up again, and those went out in the carts.
So although you wanted to avoid munitions work, yeah, you were really handling explosives.
Not a lot of that, no. That put the girls off, and then let the men do that afterwards, because the girls didn't like doing it.
Why didn't they like it?
Well, it was pretty messy in handling dead rats and mice.
Any other types of work that you did?
Rats and mice, yeah. No, I think that was pretty well all we did.
Some people, I've seen Michael Benteen on the television talking about elephant droppings for the Far East, which were explosive. Mm. Did you have anything to do with those?
I think they did those, but I didn't have anything to do with it. I didn't, because we were dealing with the French. You see, but I think they did sheep droppings or something like that, but I didn't personally have anything to do with that.
How long were you doing the work for, do you think?
About 3 years.
To VE Day?
Well, I came towards the end of the European War, the work at the barn changed. And it was outside work, making tanks and painting the chains and the various parts of the tanks, and then building them up and standing them in fields to attract the enemy over. And we had to go out and do that. Well, I didn't like doing it. So once again, I wrote to the CO, and I hesitate to say this, but they put me in the military police. So I finished up in Liverpool in the military police, and then after VE Day I was demobbed.
So there came a time round about D-Day, was it, when you had to go outside doing the decoys?
No. What was D-Day?
D-Day was June 1944.
Yes, something like it would be just before and just after then, yes.
Why didn't you like that? Because it was outside?
Oh, I didn't like it. I just didn't fancy painting war weapons, I suppose. I just didn't like it. I liked the nice, neat work of the workshops.
How did you like the NP work in Liverpool?
Well, interesting. I was never any good at it.
Were you arresting people?
Yes, we were arresting people. And the first job I did, my number one job, was to go with another girl to collect an absentee girl in Wales. And we went on the train and found the girl's address and found her home, and our mother welcomed us with open arms and asked us if we'd like a cup of tea and a piece of cake, which a thing that had never happened to us during the war at all. And we said, oh, yes, please. So we sat down talking to the mother, enjoying the tea and cake. And then when we came to pick up the girl, you can guess the rest. And, of course, we were on a charge for that.
So the mother had done it deliberately to allow her daughter to escape?
Yes, yeah.
Why were these girls on the run?
Well, just because they didn't want to be in the army. But, you see, you, as far as I'm concerned, I only remember the good times. I don't remember the bad times at all. I don't really think I had any very bad times. But we were quite near the bombing at Le Bon, the bombing over London, because we used to have special duties of fire watching at night with the hose pipe out and that sort of thing. And we could hear the bombs dropping, but they never came near to us, fortunately.
Did you ever get into any fisticuffs or fights with the girls who were on the run?
No. Well, plenty of bad language and that sort of thing, but nothing any worse than that.
So they came quietly, yes. Except for the bad language?
Yeah.
And you were doing that at the end of the war?
Mm. That wasn't very long.
You mean a few months?
About 8 or 9 months, I should think, yes.